If you think about it, life is a little bit like musical theater. There's tragedy, sometimes comedy, great joy, sometimes mingled with great despair. Literally both the depths and heights of emotion. When all else fails, one can always sing, whether it's a melancholy country-western lament or a lofty aria, depending on the circumstance. Maybe that's why musicals have stayed popular throughout the years. No matter what happens, the characters can always find something to sing about. Interestingly enough, the first couple chapters of Luke's gospel read a lot like musical theater. Every so often, something really important happens, and the characters in the story break into song. Lacking any better way to express it, they burst out singing, perhaps in the best tradition of Andrew Lloyd Webber. Church musicians have picked up on this. Many centuries ago, songs from Scripture have turned up in the church's worship. Elizabeth is visited by Mary, and she sings a song that a piece of it has become revered by Roman Catholics as the Ave Maria. In response, Mary, great with child, sings her song called the Magnificat, which sings a song of how God will raise up the lowly and bring down the mighty. Even when Jesus is 8 years old and presented at the temple, the old man Simeon takes the child Jesus in his arms and he sings what we call the Nunc Dimittis. Lord, now let your servant go in peace according to your word. This became part of the communion liturgy, and it's also part of evening prayer. So there's singing all over the beginning of Luke's gospel. Our psalm this morning is one of those songs sung by Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth and the father to John the Baptist. You remember John. He liked camel hair shirts and had a taste for grasshoppers for breakfast. His father, Zechariah, sings the Benedictus, it's called, based on the first word of that song. A song of freedom, a song of joy at what God is doing in the world. I'm going to preach on that, the psalmody, rather than the gospel reading. Here's the backstory. Elizabeth is pregnant, except she's really old, and so is Zechariah. You know, that's one of the Holy Spirit's favorite tricks, to make old guys and girls pregnant. It happened to Abraham, happened to others. And this time it's for Elizabeth and Zechariah. Zechariah gets an early tip-off to this. He's serving in the temple, and the archangel Gabriel appears to him and scares the heck out of him. Apparently, Gabriel isn't like one of those Hallmark chubby little angels, you know, but actually a pretty scary dude. And he tells Zechariah, while he's in the temple offering his prayers, that Elizabeth is going to have a baby. Now, he doesn't just take that word for what it's worth. He does what I often do. You know, God says, rich, go here, and you argue about it, you know, because you've got a better idea. Well, Zechariah did the same thing. He started to argue with Gabriel about this news that his wife Elizabeth would be pregnant and have a child. He tells the angel, well, she's old. And me too. How can this be? And Gabriel responds, you know, well, because I said so, and because God told me to tell you this. But Zechariah still argues with him. So Gabriel, full up to here with that, strikes Zechariah mute. He cannot say a word. For the whole time that Elizabeth is pregnant, he can't say a single word. Now, aside from this being a great prescription for a happy marriage, nevertheless, there's maybe a lesson here for us. Instead of just shutting up and doing what he was told, he argues with God, with the angel. We do that so often ourselves. Maybe what we need to do when God is at work in our world, in our lives, we should shut up and listen and watch to see what God is doing. Maybe that's advice that we should take. I know I need to. Every time in my life that I've had a plan, I thought it was all laid out really well. Lord, this is where I'm going. This is what I want. This is what I'm going to achieve. And God says, nah, Rich, come on now. I got a different plan for you. A different plan. Maybe what we need to do when we hear the word of the Lord is shut up and listen. For God's redemption is coming, perhaps in ways that we least expect. Maybe when our not-so-humble opinion about how God ought to run his world die down and we listen instead. Maybe when we sit in quiet amazement at what God has done in the past and might begin to see what God is quietly doing already in our lives, maybe then, maybe when we allow ourselves to stop and look and listen, we might see God's hand powerfully present leading and guiding us in new ways. Often those are the kind of things that we don't recognize until we slow down and listen for a while. That was a gift for Zechariah, the muteness that he couldn't speak. Perhaps the fact that he had to be silent and listen prepared him so that at the end, when the child was born, he could break out in song. Maybe his quietness gave him an opportunity to see what God was up to. Finally, John the Baptist, as he would be known, is born. And Zechariah holds his son in his hands, and he praises God for God's blessings upon Israel. He sings of God's mercy. He foreshadows that this will come through the forgiveness of sins, that his son would announce the coming of God's chosen one, and that he would set all of us free to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all our days. Zechariah sings of a new relationship with God that will come, that will be ours when salvation is accomplished. Zechariah has seen in his quietness that God is about to do something new. God is going to break into our everyday world with the dawn from on high that will give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. It's this dawning of a new day, where we will be able to relate to God in a new way. This is really what Christmas that we await is all about, that God is going to relate to this world in a new way. God will no longer be far off and removed from our daily concerns, but will come down to be with us intimately involved in our lives where we are. Our worship will change because, you see, we no longer need to impress God with our goodness, nor do we have to stroke God's ego, telling God how great God is as if God needed to hear it from us. No, instead, our worship becomes recognizing God's powerful presence among us, God's powerful mercy and compassion for us. Maybe even learning that our worship can lead us to new opportunities for service in God's world. If I've ever learned anything over the course of my years, it's how God always works. You don't see his hand there until you shut up and look and listen. God always works through surprise and interruption. Just when we think things are all comfy and cozy, moving along the way that we think that it ought to be, well, then God shows up and shows us something else that God has in mind. Might not be what we expect, might even be a cross to bear. But after that cross will come new life and a new way of living that's better than we could have ever imagined. Maybe it's not musical theater, but it's the way that God works. Just when we think we've got things all figured out, God closes our mouth until we start to see God's faithfulness and create our own song of praise. Like Zechariah, we begin to recognize the immensity of God's grace. But that grace comes at a cost. The price we pay to see God's grace, his son would announce. It's called repentance. It's changing the way we think, the way we act. It's a little thing, really. It's just the simple matter of admitting that God is God and we are not, that God's ways are the right ways and not ours. Maybe this would be then the song of praise, our song of praise, singing of a God who remembers promises and sets us free, singing of a God who's not content to stand away at a distance, but insists on coming near in an unexpected child, in the waters of baptism, in a sip of wine and a morsel of bread, coming to be among us, never leaving us abandoned, coming to us. That's the meaning of Advent, coming. Christ is coming. These weeks before Christmas, maybe this Advent season is an invitation for us to slow down, to shut up and listen, to hear the stories of faith of those who have also been interrupted and surprised by God's mercy, and listen to their songs. And maybe that'll be the chance for us to discover that quiet place in our hearts where our dear Lord so very much wants to live. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.